Hey, 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 and welcome to episode 112 of How You At You. It's your girl Shanice from K-Pop Box.
And Shay from the K-Way. And on this podcast, we love hanging out with you guys, talking through the hottest K news, your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, and everything in between.
Yes, so if you want to join the conversation, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. And if you want to rate, leave a comment on this podcast, make sure you do that on whatever you're listening to us on. So yeah, let's sit back, relax, and let's get it started.
Yes, so our very first segment per usual is Hot Topics, aka BBC Shanice, where we give you a rundown of the hottest K news that's come up over the past week or so. So Shanice, spill the tea.
Let's get this out of the way, because the madness has already started in my DMs, okay?
Ew.
Dean has activated his Instagram.
No.
It's been deactivated. I've already had people feel like I'm making this up, but I swear to you, I'm not making this up. It's only been a day. This only happened yesterday, Shay.
Uh-huh.
There's already people telling me, did you hear? Where is he? I don't know where he is. I wish he was my friend. We're not friends. I don't know him like that. So I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going through his mind. The only thing is I can hypothesize, okay? And my hypothesis is, right, Dean was already low-key. He was hardly posted in the first place anyway. So for him to deactivate his Instagram doesn't alarm me in any shape or form. Now, people are saying, where's the music? What's going on? Dean has, if you've followed Dean before the hype, he's never released music in a traditional, consistent way. He kind of released stuff when he wants to, or
when he feels like it.
When he feels like it, or if someone close to him is like, hey, can you jump on this? He may jump on it. So you may see the odd feature here and there. Of course, I spoke about this before. He's gone through a phase where, you know, he was building up that popularity, and then people, because when he started out, this is before like Sorry I'm Not Sorry, right? Didn't really see his face that much. You got glimpses. You didn't really know what he looked like. Like, you had to really had to dig in the archives to be like, who is this Dean? Like, what does his face look like? So when people started to clock that, he kind of cute or whatever, right? I feel like maybe he felt there was too much emphasis on that, and that's why he went through his whole weird headscarf, covering the face era. So he tried to make himself look quote unquote ugly, artsy. He's so different. So that didn't really work either. I feel like, he doesn't really make music unless he's inspired. So maybe he hasn't really been that inspired, or he feels the pressure to, you know, after his first, like, initial album or whatever, he felt pressure and he's like, I want to do all of that. Like, he gives me, in a way, it kind of gives me Frank Ocean vibes. You know how Frank Ocean, like, he'll put out stuff, he'll disappear, and then he may come back when he wants to. That's the vibe that I'm getting. I feel like he's fine. I don't know. But that's just my hypothesis. So for the last, I don't know why. Maybe this is his process. Maybe he just wants to, he's doing a social media cleanse. Maybe this is a way he could get in his creative bag. He's not influenced by stuff online. He wants to create, make his music, and he'll reactivate. It's fine. It's Instagram, okay? It's all good. So I'm not his manager. I'm not his friend. As much as I feel like he's my friend in my mind, my delusional self, he's not my friend. So please, I beg, no more DMs. No more. Okay? All right. Thank you.
God.
Yeah. Any comments, Shay? Are we good? Can we move on?
I just feel like Dean had this cool little plan to be this low-key urban R&B artist, and he accidentally went viral and he hates it here. I don't know if he's gonna come back.
That's what I think.
I don't know. I want him to come back, but...
No, I feel like he will... If he's inspired by something, he will come back. He did say before he deactivated, but even though this was in July, and I mentioned this, what, last week or the week before, whatever the case may be, that he said, oh, new album's coming. So I personally think he's just deactivated just so he can clear his mind. I feel like he's one of those people that will go to a field and lie in flowers and conjure up a song. That's what I think he's doing. That's my opinion. But
fair enough, yeah.
Just let Dean do his Dean thing. And to be honest, he's been away for so long, I've actually seen people ask, who is Dean? Who's that? So, yeah, there's that. But anyway, hopefully he's well and healthy and all them things. Moving on. SF9's Dawan has helped save someone's life. So I don't know if you heard about this because it's not really everywhere. But on the 5th of January, SF9's agency FNC Entertainment announced on the group's official fan cafe that Dawan had witnessed a patient in cardiac arrest at a sauna, and he did his best to administer first aid as instructed by paramedics over the phone. Following the incident, Dawan will take a period of rest and miss an SF9 season greeting fan sign-in event. So I think he helped perform CPR and all them things, which is very commendable, because I don't think people realise, like, even though you do your little first day training, when you actually have to do it, I don't think people realise how hard you have to actually, like, compress the chest. Like, sometimes you can break ribs and stuff. It's very traumatic.
Yeah. Funny enough, I'm super random, but I think this is new. I came across it on TikTok, and this lady, I believe it's her invention, but she basically made something that helps people be able to do CPR and stuff properly. So it's like a piece that you put in the person's mouth, and then there's like a sheet that will lay on top of their chest, and it tells you like where to press and how. Oh. And I think there's one for infants as well. So look into it if you're interested.
I've never heard of that.
Really interesting, but that's really cool that he was able to do that. Wow.
Yeah, I hope he's okay, because not even just mentally draining, physically draining, but yeah, it's a lot. So hopefully the person that he helped is fine, because I'm not sure what happened to that person, but hopefully they're fine and Dawan is okay as well, and he gets the rest that he needs. So a pat on the back for helping. Well, it says save someone's life, so I'm guessing they're okay. But well done to you. And last but not least, NCT's Haechan will be taking a break from his promotions due to health concerns. So on the 6th of January, SM Entertainment released a statement explaining Haechan's current health status. In the statement, they state, I don't know why I say statement and state a lot, sorry. They state he had experienced abnormal conditions such as heart palpitations, chest tightness, and more. Due to his recovery, he will not be participating in any scheduled activities for the time being, and plans to recover his health by resting. As a result, Haechan has decided not to participate in scheduled activities starting this week, and SM will let us know at a later date when he will basically resume his schedule. SM also apologised to fans for causing concern, and asked fans for understanding that this decision is made for Haechan's health. And then on the same day, Dreammaker USA confirmed that Haechan will not be participating in NCT 127's upcoming tour stops in Latin America and the US. So hopefully he can have a speedy recovery. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Tasha. Hey girl. Because she even said something before this came out. She was like, she was really worried about Haechan and Mark's health. Because obviously they had their comeback, NCT Dream had their comeback with Candy, and then they had other bits and bobs, and then this as well. And then I remember her tweeting something along the lines of, like, are they okay? Like, because their schedules are very back to back to back at the moment. And then literally a couple of days later, this came out. So
Yeah, hopefully he's okay. And well, Mark as well, but yeah.
Yeah. Rest up. Everyone rest up. It's hard out here in these streets. But yeah, that is Hot Topics. Hot Topics. If there's any stories you want us to talk about, or if you want to comment on any stories, make sure, that was very rude, that car was very rude, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. Okay, moving on to the next segment called Say What, where you send your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, questions, etc. You can send that all to howyoutea@gmail.com. That's howyoutea@gmail.com, or you can submit an anonymous form at kpopbox.co.uk/howyouatyou. So Shay, take it away.
Okay, so our very first unpopular opinion for today is, I hate it when people say that Hwasa and Jessie are black. No, they aren't. They have darker skin and their skin ain't even that dark. They still get whitewashed all the time.
I don't really see people call them black. I see the jokes. Not necessarily aimed at Hwasa and Jessie, though. Like, you know, when people say, when I say people, I mean us black people. When we say, why did I say it like that? That sounds so racist, but I'm black. You know, when we say, oh, so-and-so is black, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't really see it with them. They're just tanned.
I don't know. I've definitely seen jokes, I think, about Jessie more.
Mm.
I don't know if I've seen, I've heard people obviously acknowledge that Hwasa has a deeper skin tone than maybe the average idol, but I don't know if I've seen this.
Yeah, I don't see it. Maybe we're just not that online enough.
We're a bit out of touch. But yeah, if any of you guys have seen this and want to expand, or if the original unpopular opinion person wanna submitter. Expand.
Yeah. And also, I feel like, and again, maybe we're just not online enough and we don't see it, but I don't feel like they get whitewashed all the time either. All the time. Did that make sense, what I just said? Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I probably couldn't comment because I don't follow either of them on Instagram. I don't follow anyone on Instagram, hardly, but I don't really see that many images of them. If I see anything, it's probably video and yeah. Yeah,
because the only time I feel like most idols get whitewashed in the grand scheme of things is like when they go to like award shows and stuff, and then it's from the red carpet or whatever colored carpet they're on, and you're like, oh, that foundation, girl, that they'll match your neck. But I haven't seen that in a while, and most of the time it seems to be the men that get the really bad foundation of recent, get the really bad, they don't get their color, what am I talking about, yeah, they don't get their color match basically. So, and then the only whitewashing would be like from fan sites that have a weird obsession with whitewashing their faves. But like, I haven't seen that. But again, I don't know. I don't follow. Actually, I do follow Jessie, but that's her Instagram. But yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah. Okay, once again, like, just if anyone has examples of this, maybe send them through. Because I guess in fan sites do it a lot, but I guess some traditional, maybe not official media platforms, but obviously whitewashing there has always been an issue. I can't think of an exact example though. So yes, but moving on from that unpopular opinion, this next person said, K-pop heavily feeds into parasocial relationships and then is still surprised when some stans cross the line and feel entitled to certain piece of information.
I don't think this is unpopular. I think this is a very popular opinion. I feel like we've spoken about this a lot as well. It's like the reason why certain companies won't take certain action is because they need these certain crazy people to help fund hype. And also sometimes there might be like a dodgy person within that agency that's leaking certain information to certain people. So it's a weird circle.
Yeah. I guess like on one side it is like sort of, oh, you're getting what can be expected because you're playing into X, Y, and Z. I think just on a human level, everyone is still entitled to respect and privacy to some extent. But unfortunately, I think with the way some people are, it's kind of a given that some of these things will happen.
Yeah.
So it might not be surprising, but I still feel like they should be dealt with.
Yeah, I still feel like it should be dealt with. But yeah, the industry on a whole does feed into the whole parasocial relationship thing.
Yeah. I saw this one TikTok the other day, and for the life of me, I can't remember who it was about. But someone was like, oh, remember this one time where this idol got lost? So he asked, like, I think he had just moved or something and he couldn't remember how to get to his house. And he asked his sesang if she knew the way. And I don't know if she took him there, but it was something like that, like just something
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I know where you live, Oppa. I'll take you.
Cool.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Oh, so you know that 7-Eleven that's near the train station? Yeah, you turn left. Don't turn right, because yesterday you turned right and that's why you got lost.
that's even fun.
That's crazy.
Oh my god. But yeah, I don't know if it was a true account. Once again, I briefly saw it on TikTok and I don't remember who it was. But if anyone recognizes the story, I was shocked. I was confused, but okay. And then moving on to our last unpopular opinion, this person said, I'm getting uncomfortable with how young some of these idols are when they debut. And this is probably super unpopular, but I think there should be an age limit to how old you can be as an idol. Because I don't want to see someone who's literally the age of my father gyrating in an MV or singing about things that don't apply to their age group and trying to be hip.
Well, okay, let's address this. I agree with the first part in a sense of I personally don't think someone that's like 13, 14 should be debuting.
Mm-mm.
Only because, and I don't know if I should say this on air. No, I'm not going to say it on air because then you guys are going to hold me to it. yeah. So, yeah, the reason why I say about 13, 14 is because take the whole context of performing and all of that out of it, yeah? At the end of the day, it's a job. And no 13, 14-year-old should be working no adult hour-long job. Like, they need to be in school. They need to... I feel like those ages are, like, your formative years. Like, this is the time to meet people. Like, when you're in school, you're around people that you may not necessarily be around, like, in your area. You learn how to interact with people. And you also have to remember as well that with these idols that debut young, they have management and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, they're paid to care to an extent. And on top of that, the people that are actually raising them are just probably kids that are only a couple years older than them, like max 20. Yeah. I know 20-year-old is equipped to be raising a 13-year-old or any like 18-year-old, or do you know what I mean? Like, they're all like not that far apart in terms of raising, and I feel like there should be some limitations, some different ways of going about things. And I'm not saying that, you know, they shouldn't pursue music and stuff, but the whole point of art, whether that is, you know, music or drama or whatever, it's a reflection of life. So I kind of feel like if you haven't lived to a certain extent, then what can you really bring to that? Do you get what I mean? Like,
yeah, like what, like you won't have those raw experiences to be inspired by or to fuel a certain concept or song, and you won't have those lived experiences that will make your artwork connect with more people. Not saying that their music might doesn't impact like tons of people in a positive way, but it's just different. I don't know how this would ethically sit with people, but I agree with the points that you made in terms of like these years are their formative years. They're finding out who they are, how to build and maintain relationships, like platonically, some may delve into romantically, but how to make friends, how to carry themselves, how to explore different things and still have those freedoms. Mm-hmm. And it is a time in your life where you do need a solid support system and that guidance, whether that's from parents or guardians, and that's really important for someone's development. Yeah. Super random idea. It wouldn't work like a traditional arts academy, or the way that, from my understanding, these entertainment companies will take on these kids and train them. But if there was, this can sound crazy, but if there was like an SM school where like you do school and a lot of what you're taught is obviously towards you being a trainee, but you still get to have those really nice open experiences. You get to go home and I don't know, just a way for the environment to be more supportive of someone's positive growth and development alongside them training to a standard and a quality that's good. I feel like that would be positively impactful, because I think it was a video of Chu. I didn't watch the whole thing, so this may be out of context what I got from it, but she was on a show and they were talking to her about something. Then she was talking and she got quite choked up and she was saying, I think back in her trainee days or early debut, I'm not too sure when it was, but they wasn't even like outside, allowed outside much. Like, so it'd be less than an hour every day or things like that. And like, all they wanted was a breather or to just go outside and look at the sun and just like normal, regular stuff. So yes, you may have created this amazing, talented end product of this performer that can do it all, but in that process, you damaged the person.
Yeah. Because I've even seen, and again, I do want to like go into this at a different time, but there's been countless stories of, I don't know if it was Mark, NCT Mark, I could be wrong, it could be someone else, or someone from NCT, they said they had to drop out of school.
Oh.
I've also seen accounts of certain members of Girls' Generation saying that they had to go to therapy because even like within their 20s, they're basically stuck, like they're 20 years old, but they still feel 14 because that's where they've stopped growing as a person. Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, using alcohol and other things and to stay awake and all of these things. So as you said, it damages the person. So it's not, you know, us being old farts and trying to be like, you know, kids should be kids, but in the grand scheme of things, they need to be, because that's what will help them develop as a person.
Exactly. On I don't know if it's like, I think it's Dive's podcast. I think they have a few. I don't know if there's a main one. I don't remember what her name is. I think it's usually like her, BM, Peniel, and someone else. And they're usually like all talking together. But I think she says something along the lines of like, she lost her period for, I don't know if it was a year or longer. So not only like the mental implications of all of these stresses and pressures and all these different things, but the physical implications as well can be detrimental. Like whether someone wants to have kids or not, just a regular bodily function has been thrown out of whack, maybe because of the stress or things that you've had to endure. So yeah.
It's, and then moving on to the next part, the other end of the spectrum. Also, I'll just reread it. So, super unpopular, but I think there should be an age limit to how old you can be as an idol, because I don't want to see someone who is literally the age of my father gyrating in an MV and singing about things that don't apply to their age group and trying to be hip. I kind of disagree, because, you know, when you get older, you just because, I don't know, you've passed a certain age, that doesn't mean you stop enjoying certain things. That might sound wrong, but but it's true. You don't. And I also think, because it may seem that way, because we're so used to, like, every debut seems to be getting younger. Once you hit 25 and you get to like that 30 age bracket, everyone starts to treat you like you're a senior citizen. Like, oh my gosh, did you see the way so-and-so looks? And you look at her age and she's like 30 and you're like, how she looks her age? Like, what does a 30-year-old look like in your mind? It's a bit mad. I do agree, like, there can be certain concepts that may seem forced, and I feel like me and you, Shay, we've spoken about this before. And I don't mean to throw certain people under the bus, but one group comes to mind. I'm not going to say it because, but we all know who we're talking about. There's one group that comes into mind that I feel like certain concepts don't suit all members, and sometimes it can feel a bit forced, and it ages them, because when something's not for you, it just ages you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think we have spoken about this and the group we're talking about before.
If you know, you know.
We'll let you guys use your imagination. But
we've definitely said the name. We've definitely said the group. We've definitely had this conversation. So if you are real day ones, you know who we're talking about.
Exactly.
But I'm not going to keep dragging this group.
But I think I agree with what you said, and we've said it before. Just because you get older doesn't mean that you lose your interest in terms of, we're not saying that, oh, you can't do X style of music, like you can't do pop anymore because like you're too old. No, but I feel like your music should evolve with you.
Yes.
I don't think you should be, once again, 40 is not old, but I don't think you should be a 40-year-old man doing the same concept and like implementing the same like childlike adolescence essence as this new debut group.
It'd be a bit weird if a whole 45-year-old man's like, hey girl, picked you up from college. Yeah. No. Let's
you're going to jail.
Don't do that. Or like they're stuck in a time period where it's like, I got my cap on backwards. Who wears their cap backwards?
That, or like,
you know what
there
I mean?
Are these new hip trends so that they're wearing the same clothes. Like I feel like you can just have that evolution.
Yeah,
it might not be the best example because I don't know how old he is, but he's not that old. But let's look at Justin Bieber, for example. Like, although he's still like
my age,
what I mean, he's not old, but like through the evolution of his music career and journey, when he was younger and like he was doing like the tween teen pop of like, girl, like I want you to be mine, can I be your boyfriend? And like now his music sort of matured with him. Like he's still talking about similar topics, but isn't in that same way. And I think other groups and artists can do that.
Mm.
You can still indulge in the same genres and ideas and themes that you like. But I feel like it is nice for it to
evolve
with you. And it will also be nice for your initial audience as well, because your initial fans and audience will be growing with you. Yeah. So I get what this person means, but to be honest, the other side of this, which I doubt they're talking about, is that if you're a young stan, someone that's maybe 28 could seem old to you and they're in a group and you're like, why are they still singing? But that's kind of normal, so
But then at the same time, that just means that group or that person's not for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, we could say it the other way. Like, we don't want to listen to No Flipping, I don't know, 14-year-old boy saying, oh, my first crush, or whatever. Like, we may feel a certain way if they start dancing a certain type of way, which they shouldn't because they're underage. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, true. That's, like, actually a good comparison, because the flip side is, I think, like we just said, there should be a minimum age to being an idol, because I don't want to see a 13-year-old jumping and grinding in
their
anyway. So, but yeah, if you guys have anything you want to add to this, please let us know. I think this is quite an interesting one because it's highlighted both ends of the spectrum and both extremes.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you to everyone that submitted their unpopular opinions or any that we've grabbed from forums online, because it's always nice to get different perspectives and see what people think about different things. And if you guys want to submit any of your unpopular opinions, requests, stories, or dilemmas, you can do so anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/HallyuAtYou, or you can send them to us directly on socials. And now, as we come towards the end of the episode, it's time for On the Radar, where me and Shanice let you know if there's been anything that we're watching, listening to, or anything we want to put you guys onto. So Shanice, what's on your radar?
I have actually been watching a K-drama.
Gasp,
shock, horror. It's very popular. It's The Glory. Don't know if you've heard about it.
The Glory.
It's about, quick synopsis, I haven't finished it. I think this is meant to be the part one. There's meant to be a part two that's coming out later on this year. I don't know when. But the whole grand scheme, quick synopsis, about this girl, she got bullied at school, and now that she's grown, she's basically taking revenge on her bullies. But this is not bullying, people. That's attempted murder, okay? I don't know. we've spoken about this as well, Shay. Like the bullying. The bullying in these shows and just like Korea is crazy. And I saw my friend made a tweet because she was talking to her, she has a close friend that's Korean, and she was talking to her about this drama, like how much is embellished. And she was saying, and I've heard from different sources as well, like it's not that far off from what actually happens in schools.
Oh, that's nice to know. Wow.
And just to give you like a teaser, like part of the bullying that happens in your school is you have one girl, she's curling her hair with a curling tongue, and she's like, I don't know if this is hot enough, let me check. And then she places the hot curling tongue on this girl's arm, and it's like, okay, I guess it's hot. Like, and when she's showing the teacher, like, oh, I got burnt, like, why are you causing a fuss? You didn't die.
Wow. Ah!
That's what I'm saying. This is not bullying. This is attempted murder.
I wonder what, and it isn't like just penalizing Korea. Like there's bad bullying. Any bullying is bad, and there there's extreme bullying in multiple countries in particular. But I wonder what leads to this extreme behavior. Because yes, hurt people, but there's something deeper to it. Like it's really unsettling, because I think as a young person, You're still navigating, like you might realize, okay, if I do this, I get a bit more attention. It helps me fulfill X, Y, and Z needs. But it's more than that, because saying, oh, this person's ugly, or like, look at her thing today, is one thing. But to be physically harming people to that extreme, because bullying in K-dramas, verbal abuse is never okay. And I'm not saying it's lighter or easier, but they're always really physical. So I'm just like, Who okayed this? What's going on? But other than that, how is the drama? Is it okay?
No, it's really good. I'm enjoying it. I haven't finished it. I'm enjoying it. And I'm just like, oh, get your revenge, girl. Get your revenge.
And is it the drama something to do with like her ex, and like she's now gonna make someone's life hell, or is that something else maybe?
No, she is.
Oh, okay.
Might be something else. But the thing is, what I like about her, because I'm not gonna give any spoilers or anything, but there is an interaction where she does bump into one of her old bullies, right? Because she's kind of manipulated her way to work in a school that her bully's daughter goes to, right?
Oh.
So obviously the bully confronts her like, oh, you've done this on purpose or whatever. And she's like, yeah. Like the thing is, she's very upfront. She goes, remember I told you all those years ago when you said what my dream was? My dream is you. And I'm gonna complete this dream, or whatever the line may have been. The thing is, she's very upfront about it. It's not like she plays dumb when she gets confronted. Like, are you following me? She'd be like, yeah, I'm following you.
Well,
what about it?
Well, at least you know what you're dealing with, I guess.
I think that's what makes it even more dangerous, because she's like, I'm here. There's nothing you can really do about it, to be honest.
Wow.
Because I feel like if you try to do something, I could just expose you. Your life's ruined. So I'm just going to be here playing tricks on your mind. And I'm here for it.
Well.
So it's really interesting. And oh, there was a line in there. I can't remember what it was. She was talking to someone. And she was basically, I think I made a tweet about it. She was basically comparing privilege to like how cold winters can be. And she was saying, people with privilege or people with money, you guys will never know how cold it is outside, because you guys are always warm. Like, we could tell difference. I was like, that's a bar. Pull up and say it again. The way I rewind that, I was like, say it again. That's what I'm watching.
Wow, this sounds like an experience. What is on my radar? Oh, I don't know. I'm still watching Singles Inferno. I don't have any particular in-depth feelings towards it. It's going to sound terrible. I kind of just want it to end. That sounds really bad. It's not that bad, but I'm just kind of like wanting points to be made. Like I just want to understand who's going to choose who at the end. Like I'm kind of
over
all the small awkward interactions and everything weird. There was one thing, spoiler to anyone that's gonna watch it. So basically there's this one guy that's come in. I think he's like an ex-Marine or something. He used to be in the military of some sort. So he's come in and quite a few girls are interested in him, and he's all right. It doesn't seem like a bad guy, and he's kind of loyal to the girls that he has the most interest in. So he tried to let this one girl that had picked him to go to paradise down lightly. And I think she got it, but she was just persistent. So the girls had a challenge, and basically whoever placed first, second and third got to pick someone each to go to paradise with. And somewhat knowing that this guy has been like, let's talk to other people kind of thing.
Don't tell me she tried to pick him.
She chose him and they went together, and then he had to like firmly sort of reject her again. In paradise.
Oh, baby girl.
So that was an experience. But yeah, I don't know if it's the way they're making these shows or the duration of the time that people are there. So I don't think I've ever watched Love Island in its entirety properly, but I feel like it happens over a longer period of time.
Yeah.
Whereas these shows are like, they make it feel longer, but it's like these people are literally there for like 2 days or 5 days. Like that's not a substantial amount of time. It's like everyone's talking to everyone once, and then they have to pick the person that they like the most at the end. But yeah, so that's on my radar. I'm watching that. I haven't gone back to that one drama I told you about last week, the fashion-y type one.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think those are the main things on my radar.
Cool. You know what I always think, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
With like Singles Inferno, I know like they're quite new, and Pink Lie and all those type of shows. You never really see after these shows end any of these people together.
Honestly.
It's like, yeah, that was a show, but look at my Instagram and product placement. Like, don't get me wrong. Of course, we have our versions of here, Love Island and stuff, but those people, even if they've signed a contract and they're only together for 3 months, at least 3 months after the show, you see, I don't know, Lucy and James together for 3 months and they're doing coupley things and whatever. And then whether they have their, you know, your typical blacked out statement, like, oh, we decided it was best for us to part ways. Like, you never see that in Korea. I'd love to see it though.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because especially on Pink Lie, once again, spoiler, there is this couple that's like super defined throughout the majority of the show. Like they kind of take to each other quite early on. They're basically married. And I think I must have checked their socials once. Not a whisper of each other.
Yeah, it's
like
weird.
Like nothing. So, oh no.
Well.
Yeah.
I feel like if anyone on those shows listen to this, probably not, but you never know. I feel like that's a bag you guys are missing. That's a bag you guys can capitalize on. Because no one's doing it over there yet. So capitalize on that couple bag, you know? Especially with all the little, you know, you have your singles days and your couple days and your Valentine's and all of this. Cute content to be made. But anyway, guys, thank you for listening to How You At You.
Yes, and remember that you guys can send us any of your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, stories or requests. You can send them to us anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/How You At You, or you can send them to us directly on socials. And wherever you're listening to us or tuning in from, please feel free to leave a review and to rate us and to let us know what you want to see and hear more of in the future.
Yeah. I've been Shanice from K-Pop Box. You can follow me at kpopbox_.
And I've been Shay from The K-Way. You can follow me at The K-Way on most platforms.
Yes. And until next time, we will
holla at you. Bye.
Bye.